Hello from the Open Gov Hub in Washington, D.C. Today is March 8th, 2023, and it's International Women's Day. My name is Isabella Chmielewska. I'm a program manager at Global Integrity, and I'll be your host today. And I'm here with three wonderful women whose organizations are also at the Hub. And without further ado, I'll let them introduce themselves to you, starting with Blair.
Hello, I am Blair McQueen, and I am the Communications Associate with the Open Government Partnership. At OGP, we work to create transparent, participatory, inclusive, and accountable governance across the world.
Great. Hi, everyone. I'm Jahara Said. I'm a program director at Open Data Watch, and we work with our research, policy advice, and advocacy to improve statistical systems around the world and improve the use and value from data worldwide. Glad to be here.
And my name is Jane Scrimger. I'm Global Director for Operations, Growth, and Strategy at the Accountability Lab. We make governance work for people across the world through 10 network labs and 3 programming countries, really in an effort to create spaces and make accountability real.
Great. So since I have you on the line first, Jean, I'll start with you. Could you please tell us how has your organization embraced equity in your programs, especially for women and girls in particular?
Sure. So I think equity and inclusion is a really critical part of what we do. We've recognized that accountability and accountability issues often affect women, girls, marginalized groups very differently to men. And so, you know, it's been a really important part of how we think about the work that we do around the world. But also, I think about, you know, think how we think about including and creating inclusive spaces for our teams around the world, too. So we are really working on sort of two levels, both our internal accountability and inclusion, and as well as sort of on a programmatic level. On a programmatic level, it's really about creating spaces and inclusive spaces. So are we having meetings at times that women can participate? Do we have space for women to, you know, do we have people for women's to look after women's kids if they've got, you know, if they've got childcare responsibilities? Are we making sure that it's safe for women to get home at night after meetings if it's going to be dark? I think just sort of on those various levels, I think often, and for us, I think gender is also about sort of inclusion of other marginalized groups. I don't want to make inclusion or equity only about women, because I think it actually is sort of it should be and is representative of other groups that don't necessarily that aren't necessarily focused on around this sort of work. So are we creating safe spaces for the LGBTQ community to participate in our work? And you know, feeling like that they're either not going to be outed, or particularly in the countries where we work where it's illegal to be gay, or that they can feel comfortable using the facilities that we have. So these are very, very, I think, important parts of our external accountability around gender and inclusion. I think internally, the majority of our senior leadership team within AL Global are women. We have 2 women-led labs, with second-tier leadership largely being women too, in the network labs. We try our best to create completely equal policies around childcare and paternity and maternity leave, which we've found actually is a way to often equalize the challenges that women face around being the primary care, or expected to be the primary caregivers of children. We try to create environments where, you know, again, meetings are held, but, you know, it at times that are appropriate for parents or often women who are primary caregivers for children. We have spaces, or we have created spaces for for financial remuneration in terms of things like childcare if you need to attend a meeting, or if you are breastfeeding and you have an international, international travel. We try to, as best we can, accommodate that within the financial constraints that we have as a small nonprofit. And I think that sort of leads us to the point of accountability is expensive, and particularly creating equal and inclusive spaces for women and marginalized groups costs money. It's not just something that just happens. It's a drum that we beat consistently with our donors and fellow nonprofits that this is critical work and that it is something that we need to focus on.
That's a really tough act to follow, but I'll do my best to represent ODW. So here at ODW, open and accessible data are essential to identifying problems, creating targeted solutions, and tracking our progress. And this is particularly important when it comes to equity and inclusion so that we don't create development policies that leave people behind. And so at ODW, one of our flagship products here is the Open Data Inventory. And we track and monitor the openness and accessibility of data that national statistical offices produce. And in that, we have a sub-index that specifically looks at openness and accessibility of gender data. And so at this more national or international global level, in our most recent round where we assessed 192 countries, we're able to see where there are gaps in gender data availability and accessibility. And our new report that's launching soon has found that gender data are less accessible than non-gender data, which means that we're not necessarily producing it at the rate that we should be, and really points to an opportunity to prioritize. So some of our work on gender is at this global level as a monitoring organization, but we also dig deeper and work in countries with statisticians in different national statistical offices to build their capacity to produce and disseminate gender data. So one example is the Gender Data Network, which we work with colleagues in Paris 21, Data2X, and the UN Economic Commission for Africa, where we built this network of right now 22 African countries, but we're hoping to expand soon. And we really create an opportunity to build their capacity as gender data focal points in ensuring that gender data is elevated within their own organization. And it also creates this cross-country learning platform where people can share their own experiences in terms of data collection practices, but also as how do they make the case for gender data within the National Statistical Office. So we've seen that this is a way to increase the confidence of our members, who are by and large majority women, and it's seen as something that will really benefit the movement to ensure that we are collecting information so that we can understand how our developmental challenges are uniquely impacting different communities. So that's sort of at the external level. Internally, ODW is a very racially and gender diverse organization. It's probably one of the most diverse organizations that I personally have worked at. And I think that creates a culture where we are open with each other when we are in a culture where we can identify problems and listen to each other and create change in terms of policies and ensuring that we have flexibility in how we work together. And I think that's been really refreshing to see. It's a learning organization. We work together to make sure that if there's something that's not working for one person, that we address it. And I think that's something that's really been helpful as I've been growing my own career. And I think we really prioritize giving other people opportunities to represent the organization externally at events so that there's opportunity for growth and skill development regardless of where you fit in the organization. And that's something that I'm hoping that we'll see continue to grow and increase in the future.
A little bit about what OGP is doing for community members, and specifically, is that we're using OpenGov approaches to tackle inequality directly and how they're addressing the needs of marginalized groups, including women, girls, and those across the gender and sexual identity spectrum. At OGP, we're placing citizens at the center of commitments and giving them the resources to excel in the open government process and spaces. Some of these commitments include interventions to increase women-owned businesses' access to public procurement bids
and platforms to expand citizen knowledge on healthcare clinics and get feedback on the quality of care that they're receiving there. Another focus is sharing and amplifying stories of inspirational champions, which was included in our Break the Rules campaign. OGP's commitment also includes the push for gender inclusiveness throughout the open government process, and efforts like the Feminist Open Government Initiative utilized research from partners in the Global South and a coalition building effort to rally reform champions behind a gender-centric approach to open government. Members of the partnership and advocates are also working with resources like the Toolkit for Gender Responsive Action Plans to help engage and include women, gender groups, and LGBTQIA+ communities in policymaking, co-creation, and implementation. Internally, OGP has placed women on high levels of leadership across our steering committee, our board of directors, and throughout our support unit. And we've worked to offer generous parental leave regardless of gender. In a move to make sure that our language and policy framework is more inclusive and is able to apply to all individuals, we've used gender expansive languages at our events and in our commitments. Emma Arcos, who couldn't be here today, is leading a pronouns training this month as a part of the push to better utilize gender expansive language and overall teach us how we can be better to serve the partnership as well.
Thank you all so much for sharing your informative and thoughtful insights with our listeners today. Before we wrap up our podcast, I'd like to share a few insights from my team's work as well. Global Integrity is a learning-centered organization that works with partners across the globe to address complex challenges such as anti-corruption, service delivery, and open governance. We have implemented several projects in the recent past that put women at the center of our work, including researching the impact of gender dynamics behind corruption that affects small-scale cross-border traders in Kenya and Uganda, most of whom are women, and exploring how that was exacerbated during the pandemic. That project was led by Jacqueline Klopp, who is based at Columbia University, and her team, and it was part of the broader Global Integrity Anti-Corruption and Evidence Program called GIACE for short. Another one called the COVID-19 Transparency Accountability Project, CTAP for short, is working with civil society partners across Africa, many of which are led by women who are advocating for healthcare sector accountability and transparency around public spending. And the last project I'd like to mention focused on strengthening health systems through participatory approaches rooted in systems thinking, with particular attention on reproductive health and women's access to care, working together with several African CSO partners to improve health service delivery. So that's on the external facing side of GI. And internally, we strive to embrace equity across the gender spectrum. Our values include being open, collaborative, and inclusive. We are also problem-driven, innovative, and humble, and that means that we certainly see the room for growth as an organization as well, and you know, throughout the sector. And we actually have some very exciting news to share. Next week, our new executive director, Amy Miller-Taylor, will join Global Integrity, becoming the very first woman to lead our organization. So there's lots of positive momentum going forward, and we're excited to see where we'll go next. And as we wrap up today's conversation on International Women's Day, and remembering that the month of March in the US is also dedicated to women's history, you know, it really gives us a moment to pause and reflect. It's important to note that this day and this month can be easily politicized and regress rather than advocate for progress that really breaks down the traditional social roles along the gender lines that hold so many of us back, and ends up contributing to division and exclusion rather than pushing things forward in a positive direction. So as we were speaking, as we were entering the room, you know, perhaps one day, maybe it will become obsolete this day, this month, if we truly embrace equity
But it will really take all of us to make that change as a global society. And the hope is that this day really helps us celebrate our common humanity as people with the beautiful nuances that we have, while still recognizing that the feminist struggle throughout history has been hard, and that the road towards equity is not over in this very gendered world. And on that note, I want to say a big thank you to all of our guests, Blair, Jahara, and Jean, for all of your valuable insights, representing your organizations, Open Government Partnership, OGP, Open Data Watch, ODW, and Accountability Lab. And it's been such a pleasure to learn from you. And I hope that our listeners will take forward what they heard today and beyond, and continue this conversation and the action that goes with it. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.